The significance of Muharram 9th. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. The poignant occasion of Tasua, or the ninth of the morning month of Muharram, is the anniversary of the day on which, in the year 61 AH, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, asked the bloodthirsty enemies surrounding him for a day's respite. As a matter of fact, the grandson of the Prophet didn't ask for respite from death, but he gave respite to the Umayyad hordes that had deprived him of water to ponder on their evil acts and return to God and Islam. True, the Imam said he and his companions wanted to spend the evening prayers and supplications in the Divine Court before embarking for the other world by courting martyrdom, since there was no question of surrender to the enemy. In the process, the Imam also gave humanity the respite to contemplate in every age and place on the magnitude of the oppression of Yazid and his likes, in order to strive more resolutely for justice and virtue for reforming societies. We have prepared a special feature for this day, which is associated in Iran and Iraq with the valiant standard bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, peace upon him, who bravely achieved martyrdom the following day on Ashura while trying to bring water to the thirsty encampment of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, but making sure that not a drop would touch his own parched lips, since the children in the camp were thirsty. Incidentally, because of a day's difference in the sighting of the crescent, today happens to be the 8th of Muharram in the subcontinent, where the commemorative ceremonies for Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, are traditionally held on this day. Please stay with us. On the afternoon of the 9th of Muharram, the savage enemy started mobilizing its forces on the plain of Karbala, and suddenly the voice of Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander of Yazid's army, was heard ordering attack on the encampment of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. The horrific sound of the enemy's horses frightened the women and children. Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, rushed towards her brother. The author Abu Meknaf, who was a near contemporary of the tragedy of Karbala, in his famous Maqtal, or account of martyrdom, has written that Imam Hussein, peace upon him, was sitting with his head on his knees when he was informed of the enemy's approaches. The Imam, calming down her fears, turned to his loyal brother, Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, and told him to acquire about the enemy's intentions. On learning that the enemy intended to forcibly take oath of allegiance from the Imam for the illegal rule of the tyrant Yazid, and in case of refusal, to kill the Prophet's grandson, he told his brother to ask for respite until the next morning so that he can spend the time in prayer and supplications. Thus, the night of Ashura became one of the unforgettable nights on history. This was a masterstroke of spirituality by Imam Hussein, peace upon him, to show posterity for all generations to come. The firm faith and trust in God of those who are sure of their ethereal objectives. The Imam drew the line between truth and falsehood. He showed that although the hordes of Yazid that were assembled on the field of Karbala claimed to be Muslim, performed prayers, recited the Noble Quran and fasted, they were nothing more than hypocrites, a misled lot unable to differentiate between good and evil, and incapable of understanding the concept of justice or the principles of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Moreover, they were worse than beasts in view of their inability to recognize the real Imam of the age and the true meanings of the message of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, who had bequeathed to Muslims the Noble Quran and adherence to his Ahlul Bayt, as the two precisely weighty things that will save them from going astray. It is said that the Imam and his companions prayed in such a way that it seemed bees were buzzing around the honeycomb. On this night, the Imam called all his companions, extinguished the lamps, and after thanking them for their loyalty, told them that they were free to leave, because the enemy only wanted him and not the life of others. The companions in turn reaffirmed their pledge of loyalty and told him that life was worthless without him, the divinely designated leader. Among the glorious scenes of the night of Ashura was the statement of Qasim, the son of the Imam's elder brother, Imam Hasan Mujtaba, peace upon him. Qasim, who had just entered teens, enthusiastically asked his uncle, "Is my name in the list of martyrs?" Imam Hussein, peace upon him, replied, "My son, how do you view death?" He said, "Oh, my uncle, I believe that death is sweeter than honey." The Imam, with tearful eyes, replied, "Yes, you will be martyred, and so will your infant cousin, my six-month son, Ali Asghar." At this, Qasim asked, "Will the enemy forces intrude into our encampment?" The Imam told him that he himself would take the baby towards the enemy forces in order to seal his argumentation with them by requesting a few drops of water for the infant, but they will target Ali Asghar's throat with an arrow. Let us say a few words about Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, and his loyalty to Islam and the Imam. 22 years younger than Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and born of a different mother, he was devoted since childhood to the grandson of the Prophet. Once, during a hot and sultry day in Kufa, when his illustrious father, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, was addressing a congregation in the mosque, Abbas, on seeing that the lips of Imam Hussein parched, he darted out from the mosque to fetch a tumbler full of cool, refreshing water. But in his hurry to quench the thirst of his dearest brother, he slipped water on his own clothes. This incident made the eyes of Imam Ali, peace upon him, swell with tears. And when asked the reason, he replied that one day, in the distant future in Karbala, Abbas will be soaked in blood when trying to fetch water for the thirsty encampment of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Imam Ali, peace upon him, on his deathbed, had entrusted the then 14-year-old Abbas to care of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, with the words, "Hussein, this lad I am entrusting to you, he will represent me on the day of your supreme sacrifice and lay down his life in defending you and your dear ones, much as I would have done if alive on that day." Thus in Karbala, when approached by Shemr, a commander of the enemy forces, who talked about the so-called ties of kinship with his mother, Umul Banin, and said he had procured a letter of amnesty from the governor of Kufa if he would leave Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the valiant Abbas spurned the offer with the utmost disdain. He said, "You, worshipper of Ma'mun, do not think that I will be lured by your tempting offer of power and pelf. If I die in defending my master Hussein, I shall consider myself the luckiest person. Oh, coward! The valiant die but once and nobody is born to live eternally. By opposing my master, you have opposed the Prophet, whose religion you claim to follow. On the day of judgment, you will be doomed to eternal perdition." On the day of Ashura, Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, achieved glorious martyrdom in trying to fetch water from the river Euphrates for the Imam and the thirsty children. He dispersed the enemy soldiers on the river bank, and after filling the water bag, without tasting a single drop, he spent his horse towards the camp of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. He bravely fought and scattered the enemy soldiers who had surrounded him. Seeing that a frontal assault on a man so brave was not possible, they resorted to a barrage of arrows. When arrows were coming from all sides, Abbas had only one thought in his mind, how to protect the water bag than his life. Suddenly, one treacherous enemy hiding behind a date palm attacked from behind and managed to sever the right hand of Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him. Undaunted, Abbas spurred the horse towards the camp. But as he passed the date palm, another coward who was hiding behind it burst upon him and managed to sever his left hand as well. Now that the Lion of Islam was crippled and was holding the water bag with his teeth, with his chest pressed on the horse's back, the cowardly enemies struck his head. Soon he fell down from the horse, but without the hands to place the ground, and achieved immortal martyrdom.